Family devotions can oftentimes become more difficult during the school year. Concordia Publishing House has produced a new family-friendly resource called The Tree of Life. It contains 10 weeks of devotional content on 10 major biblical accounts. Find out more about The Tree of Life at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Tree of Life Family Activity Kit, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August. 1-800-325-3040. Of all the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we probably know the least about the middle one, Isaac. We know some very important things about him. We get to see his birth, which appears to be a miraculous birth. We get to see him sometime later in his life when he is almost sacrificed by Abraham to God, according to God's command. He gets a wife. He gets deceived into giving his fatherly blessing to the wrong son. He gets his son a wife. And then he dies. It's not a lot, but what's there is very clearly pointing us forward to God's promise made to Abraham and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about Old Testament patriarch Isaac, the church remembers him on the 16th of August, Dr. Jeff Boyle. He's assistant professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and author of the forthcoming Concordia Commentary on Psalms 51 through 100. Dr. Boyle, welcome to Issues Etc.
It's a joy to be with you, Todd.
Why are we told relatively little about Isaac compared to the other patriarchs?
You know, it's funny because I was thinking a little bit about the fact that Isaac, really, we don't have a lot of details about his life, but at the same time, he covers a lot of the story. And if you're running through Genesis, you already start to pick up on at least Isaac, and as far as the theme goes, with the promise of a son in chapter 12. And then it's not until much later in the book, chapter 35, when he finally dies. So he does cover a good extent of the book, even if we really don't know a whole lot of the details about his life. It seems like he's, in a way, there to be a placeholder for the Christ. And to start with the Abraham part and the story there, to see it run through Isaac, but then funnel into Jacob, and then ultimately the majority of Genesis on Joseph.
So how does the promise made to Abraham hinge there on the birth of Isaac? Go into some detail.
Sure. The promise that is given to Abraham multiple times, and in fact, as you trace through the story, a promise of land, a promise of blessing, a promise to make him a great nation and to have peoples come from him and kings, it is always tied to the singular, your offspring. And so as the promise of your offspring is given to Abraham, and we know that as we go through the story at first, that seems to be always Isaac as the referent. But then, of course, St. Paul surprises us when he emphasizes the singular offspring being the Christ in Galatians chapter 3.
Was Isaac's birth miraculous?
Yes, it was miraculous in as far as it is a promise to Abraham. And as that promise goes, it comes very late in his life. Of course, Sarah, or at the time Sarai, was barren. And though God had already made a promise to her that she would bear this son, of course, it just didn't come. And they waited and waited until finally, as the angel of the Lord appeared to Abraham and Sarai at the Oaks of Mamre and made again this sure statement that at this time next year, I will be with you and she will have a child. She laughed. Abraham had laughed the chapter before because here he is at 100 and she at 90, and how is she going to bear a child? And yet, through our Lord's promise and the fulfillment brought about therein, she does laugh at the joy that is now before her with a child in her old age.
So that helps explain the significance of his name.
Yes, his name Yitzhak is Hebrew for laughter. And Abraham had laughed at such an outlandish promise. And of course, he was willing to settle for Ishmael, his son. Then Sarah laughs as well, because who is she to undergo such a joy in her old age? And yet, there's great laughter when he is born.
Tell us about God's command to Abraham that he should sacrifice Isaac.
Here we have Isaac, as Genesis 22 says. Abraham is told, go take up your son, your only son, whom you love, and to sacrifice him. So, not only is this the son, his only son, the one only son whom he loves, but also the son of the promise, the one that is the heir, the one through whom all of these promises and the covenants that have been made between God and Abraham are to be fulfilled. Now he is told to go and sacrifice him. It's a question of trust. The word there is God tests Abraham. And in this testing of Abraham, it is not a temptation, much like the devil would lead us on to try to pull our faith down. But God, when he tests, strengthens Abraham and leads him through this, through a refining of his faith, to look to God for the fulfillment and life of the promise, even if it should mean the death of his only son.
So we're told in Hebrews that it is by faith that Abraham obeys this command, and that, and it's kind of odd that it says it this way, that he expected that should he kill his son, God would raise him from the dead. And then it says, in a parable, he did. What is it talking about there?
Yes. So throughout Genesis, Isaac is the Christ. And it's this mysterious way in which our Lord works through his Old Testament to, in fact, weave or type or figure the things that are to come in the things that are. And so, as we're following the Isaac path, we are following Christ's own path. And when he sees Isaac with the wood on his back, carrying it up the mountain to his own sacrifice, which, by the way, Todd, this is kind of a fun part of that story, is that Genesis 22 begins with the words, and after these things. We're not told how long that time is. It's a phrase that appears a few other times throughout the stories as a way of concluding what came before and starting something new. So we don't know how much time there is, but some of the rabbis seem to think that this Isaac that was being led up the mountain by his elderly father Abraham may have been even 33. In our minds, I think we have this idea that Isaac is just an infant or a very young boy, maybe old enough to go up on the mountain. But it seems that he was at least old enough to, A, have the strength to carry up his own wood for the sacrifice, but B, then, to willingly lay himself down at the hands of his loving father. Again, this is all Christ. And so when Abraham sees this son of his only son, on the altar at which he is going to slay him, he does see him as good as dead. And then our Lord provides. And so Abraham sees in that provision, again, the Christ.
What does that phrase, the Lord will provide, what does it mean?
Interestingly, I think more so in the Hebrew, it's literally something like, the Lord will see to it. And there's this very visual aspect to this provision. It's almost he sees ahead to know what to give and when at the right time. And so where our Lord provides, there at Mount Moriah at first, he provides a ram in the stead of or in the place of Isaac, so that Abraham would then receive Isaac back as though risen from the dead. Of course, our Lord does provide even more than a ram, but the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so that whole story of Isaac then, and the sacrifice thereof, or the near sacrifice, is a foretelling or a prefigurement of Christ's own sacrifice.
How did Abraham find a wife for Isaac?
Abraham was caught in this strange conundrum of, on the one hand, needing to be in the place that the Lord had promised and then through a covenant given to him. And so he couldn't leave this land of Canaan. And yet at the same time, Abraham needed to remain separate from the Canaanites around him. And so in this, he sends the servant to go back to his own country, to his own kinsmen, to find for his son a wife, and then to make sure that he brings her to him, and he refuses to permit Isaac to go to her, lest there be any leaving of the land of promise. And as that story unfolds, the servant goes, and of course he's terrified. What if the guy doesn't send his daughter, or what if there isn't a wife willing, and all the things that could go wrong here? And yet, as he kneels and prays, and he comes up with this story of, God, if you're really there, and if you're really going to answer and provide for my master whom you love, then do it this way. And he's quite particular in how she is to approach him and offer to water the camels and to give him drink. And everything goes exactly as he had sort of imagined it in his head, so that not only does she do all these things, but then her own lineage is tied to Abram. And so now Abraham has a wife for his son Isaac from his people. She agrees. Rebecca's her name, and she comes back with the servant.
Tell us then about the birth of Isaac's sons.
Isaac's sons are notoriously at war with one another. Two nations, the text says. It is Esau, the older, the redhead, and Jacob, the heel grabber, the deceiver. The older, Esau, comes out first, Jacob, the deceiver, grabbing at his heel, and yet we find right from the get-go that the older shall serve the younger, and that it is Jacob that is the beloved of God, the one through whom this line and promise of offspring shall be carried forth. These two sons, of course, have multiple run-ins and multiple opportunities wherein this loss of inheritance, this loss of blessing plays out. Esau is so hungry and famished that he comes in and he's willing to sell his birthright and despise the things that his father would give and pass down from Abraham through Isaac, only for this bowl of meal or soup. Jacob then, later, when it comes time at the death or near death of Isaac in his old age, he steals the blessing, dressing up, of course, as Esau, having to cover his bare arms with the fur and the coat and the smell of one working in the field like Esau. And then in that, Jacob is able to gain not only the birthright, but then the blessing as well.
So, what promise does God make to Isaac himself in Genesis chapter 26?
The promise that God makes is that it is through Isaac that the offspring will be carried forward. And again, it is this seed that is carried on from Abraham as it was first promised all the way back in chapter 12, now through Isaac, ultimately then through Jacob. And then as it comes forward through the line of Judah, through David to the Christ.
Dr. Jeff Boyle is our guest. We are talking about Old Testament patriarch Isaac, remembered on the 16th of August. Dr. Boyle is of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Apparent contradictions in the Bible is the theme of the August edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine. It contains columns by Issues, Etc. guests Adam Kuntz, Kevin Golden, Curtis Giese, Pastor Matt Harrison. You can receive an annual digital and print subscription for less than $20. Find out more at cph.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Interpreting the world from a Lutheran perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine, cph.org/witness or 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, we will find Isaac repeating the errors of his father, Abraham.
The Lord takes all the enmity that Adam and Eve had accomplished by their disobedience to God's command and by their eating of the fruit. The Lord takes all that enmity and he says, no longer is it between us. Now it's between me and the devil and between you and the devil.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller speaking at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And here's the point. The Lord did not bring an end to the war, not yet, but the Lord says now, I'm going to war, not against you, but for you, to deliver you, and to make peace.
You can watch and listen to Pastor Wolfmiller's presentation, Making the Case for Christian Peace, and all of the teachings from this year's conference for a tax-deductible donation of $300 by Labor Day. It's available via on-demand video streaming or podcast. Learn more at issuesetc.org or by calling 618-223-8385.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you know a child with autism, dyslexia, ADHD, or Down syndrome? Do you have a student who needs an effective yet more gently paced education? We invite you to visit simplyclassical.com for a complete academic curriculum rooted in the truth of God's Word, the mercy of forgiveness, and the peace of Christ. From Memoria Press, simplyclassical.com, promo code LPR22.
Saving faith is a living, creative, active, and powerful thing, Martin Luther writes. How can it not be? It is created by our loving God through his living words and life-giving deeds. Living Faith Lutheran Church is located at 1171 Atlanta Highway in Cumming, Georgia. Come train in God's Word with us for the baptized life in our adult catechumenate. Find out more on the web at livingfaithlutheran.com.
We are remembering Old Testament patriarch Isaac. Dr. Jeff Boyle is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. So, Dr. Boyle, how does Isaac repeat the errors of Abraham, his father, in this case, telling the Philistines that his wife was his sister?
This is the third time that this takes place. Already when Abraham, at a famine, had gone down to Egypt, there, for fear that his wife Sarai, as beautiful as she was, would simply be taken by force by the Egyptians, and then Abraham would be either killed or dealt roughly with if they found out that she was his wife. So he convinces her right from the get-go to say that she's his sister. That happened early on in Genesis. It happened again when Abraham then went through this Philistine area of the Gerar, and Abimelech sees all of this, and thankfully, by God's own mercy, he is spared. There, by the way, in chapter 20 is the first time that we find the word prophet in all of Scripture, where Abraham is called a prophet, and Abimelech is directed to go to Abraham, and he will pray for you. And so there we find this intercessory, sacrificial character of the prophet in Abraham for the deliverance even of this enemy king, Abimelech. Well, as the story continues on and these cycles of Genesis continue, this is not the only repetition we'll find throughout Genesis, but now we find Isaac going to the same area and the same king being tempted to get through the issue or this problem in the same way as Abraham. And so Isaac is able to, in that way, convince Abimelech that Rebekah is his sister. Thankfully, though, Abimelech, having gone through this before, recognizes that this is not quite right, and so he is able to, in that way, chide Isaac for this. No harm comes, neither to Isaac nor to Abimelech and his kingdom on account of this.
You spoke briefly before about Jacob deceiving Isaac. Tell us that story in a little more detail from Isaac's perspective. It is, we know what's going on, and the only one who isn't in the know, including the reader, is poor old Isaac.
Oh, and he becomes terrified. He starts shaking, as it says. So the way this plays out is that Rebecca loves Jacob. Isaac loves Esau. And that word for love is not quite the way that we may think of it. It is a choosing. It is a preference in this way. And so Isaac prefers Esau. He prefers his, maybe we might say his manliness, his outdoorsmanship, his ability to hunt and to kill and to provide meat for him and his favorite meals. And so when it comes time for the blessing, Isaac tells Esau to go to hunt, to kill, to prepare this meal for him so that he may eat, and as he eats, rejoice and give his blessing to his firstborn son. Well, while he's out hunting, Rebecca, having caught wind of this whole plan, decides that she's going to help Jacob, her son. And so she tells him to rub on him Esau's clothes with the smell and the odor of having been outside hunting, and to put on this hairy skin, this sheep's or ram's hair on his arms, and to wear his clothing so that when he goes and she's done the meal and prepared it for Isaac, as he comes very quickly, surprisingly so to Isaac, he's a little incredulous. He doesn't quite believe that it could be. It sounds like Jacob, and his eyesight's real poor, so he can't quite see, but it smells like Esau. And then Isaac calls him even closer, and Jacob, probably fearful at that point that the whole thing is going to fall apart, Isaac smells and he says, "Ah, that's my son." And then he eats of his meal. And then with the joy, he blesses him as he would his firstborn, making him a king and giving him lands and blessing him with all of those that would serve under him. Well, when Esau then comes in after Jacob has left, thinking that he's now prepared the meal for the first time for Isaac, and Isaac hears him, "Who are you?" "Well, I'm your son Esau." And he shakes terribly. He's afraid, which, by the way, Todd, that tells us something about blessing in the Old Testament. It's not just a well wish. Something is actually given by the words from one to the other as he is blessed. And so Esau, in despair, "Haven't you another blessing for me?" crying out for something from Isaac, which has now been given by the word to Jacob.
Why does Isaac send Jacob to find a wife among his relatives?
In the same way that Abraham sent his servant to find a wife for Isaac. Isaac knows that this is the promised land. This is the people from whom our Lord will deliver his own people, and out of whom. And so he keeps them separate, carved out, a people set apart for his own name, but in this place. And so again, there is this connection to his lineage that he wants to preserve, while also retaining the space and the place and the land that the Lord has promised to give to him.
What do we know about Isaac's death?
It comes very late. In fact, it's a bit surprising. You almost lose sight of Isaac with all the travails of Jacob and the stories of him serving for Rachel and trying to go through all of the, even the very tragic state of the rape of Dinah. I mean, there's this terrible interlude that goes on in Genesis 34. But then it's in chapter 35 that we find, finally, the death of Isaac. And it, if I could read it real briefly, it simply says that, and this is after all of the sons of Jacob have been born, these 12 tribes, we almost see the death of Isaac as a culmination or a fulfillment of that portion where now we have this carried on lineage and this offspring is now expanding. But then you get to the very end of chapter 35. "And Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mamre, or Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had sojourned. Now, the days of Isaac were 180 years, and Isaac breathed his last, and he died and was gathered to his people, old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him.
How then does, as you started our conversation, how does Isaac throughout his life foreshadow Jesus?
Isaac does first, already in being the promised offspring. Now, St. Paul, as I said earlier, made a point that it is one offspring, not many, not multitudes. It's one offspring. And he is not one to mince words. That is the Christ, Jesus. So Jesus is this offspring that is promised from chapter 12 onward in Genesis and carried forward. We see that one offspring, Christ, already manifesting himself. We might call it a type or a figure, but already there he's being ingrained into the very fabric of the narrative of Israel. That first, then, is Isaac. So you have his miraculous promised birth through very unlikely means, much like our Lord from a virgin, so Isaac was brought from the barren. And then, third, you have that beautiful image of the cross, the sacrificial, self-willing death from Isaac going up Mount Moriah and our Lord carrying his own cross up Mount Golgotha. And there we see again this prefigurement of the Christ in the very life and near death of Isaac.
How does the church then rightly remember the Old Testament patriarch Isaac?
By worshiping Jesus. This is the fulfillment, the end, the telos, the goal of all that the Old Testament is. But more than that, more than just being the direction that Isaac is pointing, he's also the substance of who Isaac is. He is the one that makes Isaac the laughter for Sarah. He is the one that is fulfilling this promise already made to Abraham. And so, to best commemorate Isaac, we might read again the stories of Genesis and maybe start at chapter 12, but the birth proper is chapter 21, and run through these stories, but especially chapter 22, where we see through this a beautiful image of Christ.
Dr. Jeff Boyle is Assistant Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and author of the forthcoming Concordia Commentary on Psalms 51 through 100. Dr. Boyle, thanks.
It's been great to be with you, Todd.
We will discuss big tech censorship with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute right after this. Family devotions can oftentimes become more difficult during the school year. Concordia Publishing House has produced a new family-friendly resource called The Tree of Life. It contains 10 weeks of devotional content on 10 major biblical accounts. Find out more about The Tree of Life at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Tree of Life Family Activity Kit, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August. 1-800-325-3040.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Are you looking for a quality Christian high school education in the Lutheran tradition? Then Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois is your answer. We are continuing to accept applications and registrations for incoming ninth grade students and transfers for the 22-23 school year. For more information, please check out our website at melhs.org or call the school office and ask for me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.